I have received some feedback about my videos, and one of the things I was told was that maybe don't eat and drink while you're making a video. Now, if I am eating and drinking and I suddenly have to make a video, but the other thing that I think made sense was that I tend to, so how I make these videos is that this is a phone, this is the HTC One M8, and it's on selfie mode, and I'm recording a video. So what invariably happens is that instead of looking into the camera, which is what I'm looking at right now, which means that I'm making eye contact with you, I end up looking at me. So even though it's just an inch off, I'm actually looking at a photo of me and I'm like, oh, you know, are my eyebrows fine? Am I looking okay? What's there in the background? Am I making the right expression? So it kind of is a disconnect, but it's easier to look because you know how it's said that people tend to look at people more. So I think it's my natural tendency to keep constantly looking at myself. From now on, I'm going to try to look at the camera. Okay. So now that that's out of the way, I'm going to be reading off an article on the phone that I use right now, which is the HTC One A9. Yeah. This article, it's not new. I mean, it's been around for a couple of weeks, and I think most bloggers have already discussed it and spoken about it. And I've been thinking about it, and I wasn't sure what to talk about in the next video. But I wanted to blog about this as well. I thought it might be easier to do a video because I talk and that's easier. Writing would have taken more structure and thought. This was an article that was written by Namrata Zakaria, whom I respect. I like reading her columns. They're some of the most honest columns someone writes about fashion in India. I am by no means an expert in fashion. I mean, I'm a photographer. I go to shows. I shoot and I post photos. I don't make critical commentary on runway shows or the clothes that are presented because I don't know what goes into it. I mean, I have not spent years looking at designers evolve or how their craft has evolved. I don't know what it takes to put together a dress. I don't know what it takes to put together, get the fabric, get the embroidery done, set up a production unit, make profit in a marketplace like India. So I don't make any critical commentary on a collection. I might say, the maximum I'll say is, I would love to wear that. But, and there are people in the Indian fashion industry who can provide critical commentary, but most of them don't, because they have day jobs and they don't really have time to blog. Namrata obviously is a columnist and she's been writing about it and I really like how she writes, etc. So she wrote an article, I don't remember the subject, but it appeared in Mumbai Mirror, which is where I read it. So I'll read some excerpts from it, and she's basically kind of talking about bloggers in India. I know she's not talking about me, and I don't know who she's talking about specifically, and I haven't really cared to find out. Okay, so the first thing is, why don't you start a blog? I doubt there's scarcely a writer in this country today that doesn't get asked this every few weeks. I will admit my ideas about blogs have changed over the years, but my reply has been standard. Because I get published. I don't think it's the same thing. Like, just because you get published doesn't mean you can't or shouldn't write a blog. It's like I have a friend who writes for, you know, India Today and for a lot of publications. And every time we meet, I'm like, so when are you starting your blog? It's not because I just think it's a no-brainer. I think if you are someone who is a published writer, it's even more important for you to have a blog. Because you can share what you write with more people. Being published is no longer a feather in your hat. It's just another thing, another means of reaching out to an audience. For example, this friend of mine, she's published. God, she writes in so many places. She writes about fashion. She writes about, you know, interiors. She writes about a bunch of things. And she wants a blog because she feels that she doesn't really reach out to the to a larger audience. I mean, how in print, for example, if you're published, how do you know who's read your stuff? I think the blogging has a more immediate effect. Like, you can instantly share, okay, here's a link, and people can come and leave comments. There is no, you can write anything you want. I think that's the freedom that blogging accords to people who, whether you're published or not. I mean, as a photographer, for example, this used to be 10 years ago when I started, the big thing was, oh, you have to get published, you have to have photographs in a magazine, this publication needs to carry your photos, and suddenly something will happen and you'll be like this, oh, big photographer. I don't even look at it anymore. Like, I don't think tear sheets are important anymore. I mean, they're not, they won't spell success for you, is what I'm saying. I'm not saying they're not important. I mean, cool. It's a cool thing if you have a tear sheet and you know, your photograph appeared in a magazine. But what does it mean that your photograph appeared in a magazine? Do you know how publications work? They pay $500 for a picture to use a photograph. I'd rather work with commercial clients who pay me shitloads of money to shoot a commission for them and then publish those photos on my blog instead of allowing a publication to use my photos for like $500 and make way more money that advertisers pay them, and I don't get to see any of that money when my photograph is part of the content that's helping them sell that, you know, publication. Like, yeah, I don't want to write. I don't want to be published. Thanks. Like, it's, so as a photographer, as a writer, I have written for a magazine, a couple of magazines earlier days when I used to be a graphic designer. So I wrote about branding and things like that. And I didn't get paid. Like, again, I don't have Namrata's experience, obviously. She's been around and she's obviously specifically talking about fashion bloggers or writers, I think, which I don't fit the category. So I can't really comment in a very informed way, but that's my opinion. So I don't see how blogging and publishing are two separate things. Blogging is also publishing. It's your own editorial calendar. You can contribute to other blogs, larger blogs, you know, like there's a PopXO or there's a MissMalini.com, and you can be a contributor there. You can write there. I don't know if they pay, how much they pay, etc. But you can get paid. That's also publishing. So I don't think these worlds are separate anymore. Also, of course, there are independent bloggers who do have bylines. So, I mean, again, not all bloggers do, because, yeah, she's right. There aren't many good quality bloggers in India. Forget fashion. In most of the genres, they just aren't. Okay, the next paragraph says, if the conclusion you have arrived at is I perceive bloggers to be those who do not or cannot get published, you are indeed correct. Name one who successfully straddles both. Zot. I told you so. Okay, I mean, fine. I mean, if that's her perception, that bloggers are those who don't and can't get published, that's fine. That's her perception. That's cool. It's not true though. Unlike the West, India is still mostly a print-reading country. I don't have the data on that, so I don't know. I don't read. I read a lot of books, printed books, but if publications, I haven't had newspaper at my house for the last about 6-7 years. I don't buy or subscribe to any magazines. I used to subscribe to Motherland. That was fab. I don't know what happened to my subscription. The magazines, half of them never reached. So, but yeah, I'd rather read online. But again, I think I'm part of a very small group of people in India or who don't subscribe to print publications or magazines. So I don't have data on this. I can't say. Sure, the online variants of our newspapers are popular, and there are several online news sites that function independently of affiliations, offering poetic political analysis. True. But largely, we are still an online economy in transition. Take that struggle to a fashion or features website and you get the gist of its bank balance. That is true. It's not easy running an online publication. It's not easy. And independent publications, even harder. Like for someone like me, it's a constant jostle between whether I'm getting paid to do this work, go do a shoot, write about someone's brand, or am I writing about it because I really like it. And again, I'm not a writer by any means. I'm a photographer. So my goal is always to do a photo story, to do a visual story, to collect an experience using photographs and write a little bit about what it was, who I was shooting for, and you know, offer my opinion or a short commentary on what it is that the photos are about. But I am not a professional writer. I have been paid to write, but it's one-off. It's always a one-off. So I don't know. I mean, it's hard. For example, there's a lot of talk these days about disclaimers and whether you disclose who paid you and whether the feature is a feature you're writing for a brand. And I don't see many blogs or these large publications that write about fashion, for example, offering any disclaimers, even though to readers like me, it's pretty clear that this was a brand story. I always offer a disclaimer. I always say whether the product was sent by PR, whether it was a butter feature. Mostly I'm hired as a photographer. So, I mean, I always write that I was hired by so-and-so client to shoot this. And so my blog is like part my portfolio. But again, I'm a very one-off niche case. So I know I don't represent the majority of bloggers in India. So just saying. Blah, 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 blah. Was print becoming irrelevant? Advertising. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, the magazine editor. I'm just going to skip some part. The magazine editor gave some sincere advice to the bloggers in the audience. Like authors telling budding writers, if you want to write, read. Read, she didn't say to develop an educated opinion. The social media queen, on the other hand, said she didn't believe in giving her real opinion because it might hurt people and then she would be very sad. Bite your tongue, take their money instead. Oh my god, who the fuck is this? Holy shit. No, yeah, it's not, again, this is a huge misconception that a lot of people have, that bloggers just get paid left, right, and center and their opinions are colored because of the money. Fuck no. Like, no. I mean, are you you're losing readers like that. If you're looking at building a niche audience that believes in your credibility and your authenticity, it's not that someone's just paying the money and I get paid, right, to do brand stories. I don't get paid to formulate my opinion because I'm getting paid. I get paid for the work that I'm doing. There's a lot of work that goes into creating a blog story on my blog, for example. There are photographs. I need to go somewhere. So I'm charging for my time and my effort. It's not for my opinion. I'll still, if I don't like the product, I'll still say, hey, you know what? I'm not sure this technology, for example, is currently worth investing in, but it's a cool toy to play with, for example, or a really pretty bag, but I don't think I'll be buying this because I don't know, this the seams are a little off. There will be a way where I will communicate that regardless of whether I'm paid or not. I mean, it's really in the long run, if you are trying to establish credibility with your audience and grow that audience, disclaimers, disclosures are the go-to. Even if there's no immediate backlash, people know and they feel cheated, and that's not a nice way to interact with your audience. So if you're thinking about hurting someone's feelings, you're not blogging professionally. Again, if you're blogging and it's your passion and it's just something that you like and enjoy doing, then there's no question of being paid for it anyway. So the video just decided to cut off on its own in the middle. And good, because I was rambling. So I'll move on to the next thing. The thing with virtual businesses is that they are just that. What does that mean? I'm not sure what that means. Virtual business is a business. I pay my rent and my bills because of being on the internet. I do go and shoot, so that involves me going and shooting. And look, if you're a blogger and you're not meeting people and you're not going to events and you're expecting to make money, forget about it. So yeah, it is a virtual business and it is a money-making business. I sorry, I don't see that. I don't see what the point is. The internet is a growing tour de force, but it's nothing like it is in Western economies. In the US and much of Europe, nobody gets newspapers anymore. That's not true. A recent Vogue USA browse through was filled with photo shoots and advertisements. All the articles, people stories, fashion trend stories, long reads and news features were on their online versions. The print form existed to support a little advertising and to keep those airport stalls running, I guess. But that's true in India also. Most of the mags just have ads. In India, the situation is reversed. No. Online sites of newspapers and magazines, despite our addiction for the instant news and immediate updates, still generate smaller profits. Much, much smaller if the print medium is a resounding success. Okay, I'm not sure about the print. I mean, I haven't spoken to editors, so I don't know how much advertising money they're making, but I don't know. I really don't have the numbers on how many magazines they actually end up selling. Like, my blogger can tell you how many people came and read the story, how many social media posts I made, how many responses I got to that, got to each update, how many retweets I got. Like, it's measurable. This is my biggest thing with print. How do you tell how many people are actually reading your stuff? Like, on a blog, I think the only way where you can fix that data, for example, is if you, for example, if you do ads on Facebook, you get more hits to your blog. There will be more people because Facebook ads are very effective. So you spend money on Facebook and you get ads on, and you get people to come and check out your blog. Okay? But those people, unless you keep up their advertising money investment on a weekly, monthly basis, that number, those page views will drop. For sure. Because these are people who will look at an ad and they'll be like, oh, interesting, let me go see. And they'll go see your blog on the basis of that ad, on the basis of those visuals. And if they don't find the content interesting, they are very highly unlikely to come back. So the bounce rate of your website goes up. And your page views, the time spent on your website stays low. For example, I get about, currently I think my last 3 month average is around 50,000 page views for a month. And my per visit page view, like per number of pages per visit, is around 4, which is apparently insane. So, and the time spent on my blog is higher. My bounce rate is like 17%, which is again insane. So this, I can measure all this on my blog, and I can tell my, see, I don't advertise in the blog, so I'm not even looking at doing that. So advertisers are not part of how I make money. But it's a real way to make money online by advertising on your blog, especially if you're putting out great content. But I can actually show results to a brand and say that, hey, look, we did this story. The idea was great. So many people responded. So many people came and saw it. On a magazine, how do you do that? Okay. Again, it shut down for some reason. So the next paragraph that Jamdar writes is very interesting. But my problem is this. Every single fashion site I've seen in India is a PR stooge. Ouch. I kind of agree with her. The smaller ones are dependent on companies to invite them for their events. For example, fashion bloggers have to be nice to designers to be invited to their shows. Hear me out, listen to the whole thing. No chance of reading a sincere point of view here. On the other hand, successful bloggers have built their businesses such that you have to pay them to attend your shows or event, to write about it on their blogs and promote you via their tweets. These entrepreneurs charge you per tweet. Do you get the news you want or do they get you by your eyeballs? Okay, I agree with all of this except this. Do you get the news you want? This correlation of bloggers providing news is something that I don't agree with. There are bloggers who do news. There are, for example, I had this fight with this tech blogger on Twitter who was like, oh, I don't want to get paid. I do stories. We get money from our advertisers on our blogs and we do stories based on what we know and we go to events and we don't take free gadgets and shit like that. So that can be considered this blog provides news. I don't provide news. Like, no. And other independent fashion bloggers that I know of aren't providing news either. There is an element of helping along commerce where we, you know, I talk about some new products which I'm like, oh, nice, I want this, great quality, whatever. I charge to attend events. I also charge for tweeting. I charge for blog stories. And in continuation, because guess what? It shut down again on its own. Of course, the main reason was that the phone doesn't have too much memory left. So it doesn't... So the memory ran out, so now I had to clean the phone. And okay, going back to... I was talking about if everyone thinks that I get paid for everything, that's a huge misnomer. Which is why I think anyone who's looking to get into blogging professionally, solo blogging, I'm not talking about setting up a conglomerate like a Popexo, for example. If you're looking only at solo blogging, I would recommend you have a secondary source of income. Because, I mean, unless again you are into the whole mass market thing where you're okay promoting anything and everything, even though you will not use that product or that service in real life. If you are promoting that kind of stuff, then I think that's the kind of blogger Namrata is probably talking about. And that does leave a lot to be desired for in terms of quality. Because then you're doing just pure commerce. That riding that fine line between doing it because you're passionate about it and you also want to, why not promote commerce? Sure, there are people who are producing great quality work, products that you would like to buy, you would like to own. And so you don't mind promoting that either. And I mean, working with international luxury brands. I mean, sure, I'd like to, get an Hermes bag or... It's a very covetable piece. So sure, if they say that we want you to blog about this latest campaign of ours and here's a bag, well, yeah, sure, okay, I'll do it. But I will write in the end in the disclaimer saying that the brand gave the bag to me to keep as a barter exchange, because it's only fair. Why would you not do that? Like when I get hired for photography assignments, I always say that this company hired me. It's a way of... It's like being published, right? You're showing off that you worked with this brand. So I don't see why disclaimers and disclosures are sort of such a problem unless you set out to deceive. In which case, sure, you are fucking up from the get-go. It's not all stories are paid for. Like the Made in India feature that I'm doing these days where I'm trying to focus on products that are made by small teams of 1 to 2 people. There's Kiaroscuro bags by Smriti Sen. It's her baby. She started it and she produces some really good quality leather bags. Fuck, they're made in India. And honestly, I've seen a lot of shit that's made here and I would not own that stuff. And then I've featured clothes by Raiman Sethi. Beautiful work, impeccable stitching, great fabric. Usually what happens is someone sends me their lookbook and I'm like, oh my god, how am I going to put this together? This goes with that. This doesn't go with that. And I need to look at 2-3 different clothing brands to put a look together. But I looked at Raiman's lookbook and I was like, that's what I want to wear. If the look was already there, it worked well for someone like me. It's the kind of stuff I would wear. Even if it wasn't presented to me in a lookbook, I'd be like, maybe I can put these two things together. And it was there. Then there's jewelry by Maharani Bagh and... They repurpose jewelry, that tribal jewelry repurposed. So it's not, there's a little bit of silver here and there, but it's mostly like I'm wearing, can you see? Yeah, see these earrings. I'd wear this stuff. I mean, in real life, like my life and blogging life is not, they're not different things. There's me. It's all me. And that's my point of view, which is what Namrata is talking about in her article as well, that bloggers in India don't have a point of view. Well, I know what she's saying and I disagree with bloggers because it's, again, I know she wasn't trying to say all bloggers, but again, majority, yeah, I do agree with her. Most of them don't have a point of view. My point of view is also that the blog is me. The blog is who I am as a photographer. It's my work. It's the way I see the world, the way I interact with people in the Indian industry. And I'm open about it. I mean, I diss brands and clients all the time. Unprofessionalism, not being paid on time, changing how the industry functions. But I'm just one person. And collectively, bloggers need to have some sense of ethics and some sense of how they work in the industry, and they need to set those standards because it's a two-way street. You can't just bitch about PR people and say, oh, they don't know what they're doing and they call up at 9 o'clock in the night. Well, it's because you take the fucking call at 9 in the night. If you stop taking calls at 9 in the night and tell them that, look, I am available from this time to this time only from Monday to Friday, they're not idiots. They will try their best to do that. So, and it'll take some time. But if you are the kind of person who's taking calls at 8 a.m. on a Sunday morning, work calls, and then you're telling, oh, why do they call me at 8 a.m. in the morning? Well, you take the calls. So they're like, okay, so they do pick up the calls. So they are going to call you at that time. So that's what I mean by a two-way street. It's the same thing. I've been to runway shows where I looked at clothes and I was like, wow, it looks like they're from the 80s. And I don't really know why the designer is showing these clothes on the runway, but I'm not an insider in the fashion industry by any means. I mean, those designers don't talk to me. The only reason I'm invited to these shows is because they expect me to tweet about it, and who knows, maybe I'll blog about it as well without asking them for money. So yeah, I want to be in their, you know, good books, but I don't go to shows all the time. I mean, unless I have a special relationship with the designer where I have met them, I've spent some time with them. Like, fuck, if Wendell ever calls me for a show, I'll go and I'll probably even blog about it without charging him anything because he's a really nice guy. And I have a sense of his work. He's got clean lines. He uses, you know, simple fabrics. It's hard not to not like his work. But if you know, you're a designer, I don't care what your experience in the industry is. I don't know you. I mean, I have respect for you from a distance, but I don't know you. I don't know your work. In India, fashion hasn't been written about too well in any case. How many voices like Namrata Zakaria are there anyway? Like, I could literally count them like on, you know, my hand. There's Shefali Vasudev as well. But there really aren't so many writers either. So it's unfair to diss on bloggers because blogging is new. Bloggers are still figuring their way out. Heck, I've been blogging for more than a decade. I'm still figuring it out. Brands, PR, we're all figuring it out together. And developing a point of view takes time. The respect that Namrata Zakaria, for example, has is because she's worked at it. It takes time. You don't just show up day one and you try to figure out. It's political as well. No one wants to, like, I, for example, I called out a rather well-known designer where when they used my photographs on Instagram, they reposted without credit, where they're saying, oh, this dress is available in our stores, which is effectively commercial usage, and forget paying me for the images. They didn't even fucking provide credit. And what, before that it was like, oh, hey Naina, how are you? Hey, mwah, mwah, good evening, whatever. Once I did that, they even refuse to look at me when I see them at an event, and the good evening is stiff. You know, you can tell that they're fucking pissed. Well, fucking be pissed. I don't give a shit. Like, you don't even know what IP is, and you're selling your own crafted art in the form of clothes. I mean, it's like me walking into one of your stores, stealing a dress, and then coming back and, you know, shooting the dress in a really pretty setting and selling my photography skills based on that without disclosing that it's your clothes that I'm using, or that, you know, it's stolen stuff. Like, it's the same thing. You steal my photos. So when these basics aren't even sorted out for a newbie, it can be a hard industry to navigate. And, you know, you've been in the, for a fashion designer who's been around for 10, 20 years in the Indian industry, you have respect from a distance. Even though I might not know you, I respect you because, fuck, you've been here for so long. You must be doing something right. So, yes, you have my respect for that. But, you know, coming back from a show and just writing on the blog and saying, oh, it was a shit show. No, that's not the way to do it, even if you're being honest. It just shows that you're being dismissive. So you have to know what you're writing about. And I'm not a fashion design student. So the maximum I can say is things like, oh, that dress was pretty. But if the show was really bad, then yes, the likelihood of me saying that the show was really bad is very low, regardless of whether I'm paid for it or not. If I'm paid for it, then I'll say, I'll probably do like, oh yeah, photos of the show. So, you know, here are the photos of the show. That's it. I'm not going to do a critique because I'm not equipped to do the critique. there are people who are equipped to do critiques who don't have a fucking blog. So yeah, please put a blog. More number of voices are required to say it like it is. So I would, Namrata, yeah, blog. I think your blog will be hugely successful. You'll inspire a younger generation to write like that because they will see that this is a possibility. And the younger generation is not reading newspapers or magazines. They are reading blogs. So yeah, tweet more, blog more. I mean, I'd look forward to reading that. It'll give me a sense of, you know, inspiration that, okay, she's doing it. She's using a reasonable voice. And I could learn from that. So I think you should have a blog too. And, you know, if you need help setting it up, fuck, give me a call. We'll sit together and do it. Okay, so, yeah, the next paragraph that she's saying is, so you will see fashion bloggers suddenly post the new razor in town, courtesy a shaving company paycheck, or a hotel and its beautiful swimming pool, courtesy a free staycation, or why Australia is the most beautiful country in the world. Yes, they were in a freebie junket here. This is true for journalists as well. Again, not all journalists, so please don't take me in that sense. But there are people who work at publications, who get a salary from the publication and who go on fam trips. It's a vacation for them and they're getting a salary, you know, at working at the publication anyway. So for someone like me, I'm not getting a salary from anywhere. So I don't do fam trips because I'm like, hey, fuck you, pay me. Because I've got rent to pay, dude. You know, I'm going to be spending time, so I'm charging for my time. And you expect me to blog about it, so I'm charging for that because I'll be taking photographs. You want me to? I'm going to come back and edit that. All that takes time, and I charge for my time. There are new bloggers who will be like, you know, I don't know if someone's going to pay me yet, but I'm getting a 5-day vacation, so fine, I'll go for that vacation. So they make that choice. It is an economic reality. But yes, if they don't say that it is, you know, paid for and they don't provide those disclaimers, then yeah, absolutely. I mean, they need to be called out for that. And yet the number of bloggers I meet is growing in leaps. It will. God, have you seen the opportunities that exist? Like, it's money on the table that's being left. Nobody wants to leave that. Everybody wants a bite out of it. So again, it's not an organized industry. It's going to take time and you need to set an example as well. I do. Every time I blog, there's always a disclaimer, barter, paid, hired for photography, you know, free products, whatever. Always, always. They occupy front row seats at fashion weeks in India too. Yeah, that's just started. I mean, the last fashion week, even I had a front row seat and I was like, wait, is that a mistake? But it's new, you know, it's not. We were 5 years ago, I used to be standing like in the last row. So yeah, they brands do think that blogging is important because it is. It's a much more simpler, faster way of reaching out to a much larger audience that you can measure. Designers vie for their attention too because the world lives on Facebook and Instagram these days. True. The biggest bugbear with blogs is that there are scarcely any that specialize in something. Like us journalists call domain knowledge. Manolo's Shoe Blog is a riotously funny blog just about shoes that was started by an anonymous writer in 2004 and is still a rage. The sartorialist who takes pictures of well-dressed passers-by on the streets has spun 100 Me Toos. Yeah, again, because it's the economy is such that we look at a model that is successful and everyone wants to follow suit. So it takes time to find your voice. And in India, blogging is new. So expecting a blogger to have a voice from the get-go is, I think it's not realistic. And blogs that specialize in something. Yeah, my blog specializes in me. I mean, the things that I like. I like travel and I like fragrances, which is why I started the fragrance of the month. And again, it's taken time to do that. And I've tried lots of things on the blog. And I don't necessarily just do the things that will work. I do things that I enjoy. So that's what I specialize in. Life. And life is a bunch of things. Now, if you're talking about a serious fashion voice, then there are people who are doing that. They're not so well known because guess what? That's not popular. That's not what they get paid for. So yeah, it's going to take them time to grow. Which is why you should blog, Namrata. You should blog. You'll get to write more. You won't. Nobody's going to tell you, you can't write this, you can't write that. Although I don't think anybody tells you to do that anyway. But you can reach a much larger audience by blogging. I mean, you're published and you'll have a blog. So you're literally doubling your, what should I call it? Your, like, they'll want you more. Like, that doubles. So your work spreads more. I mean, I don't see any downside to you blogging. Tavi Jevonson and Kiara Ferragni are so popular. One has collaborated with The Gap while the other has graced the cover of Lucky Magazine. Isn't that kind of contrary to what you're just saying, that bloggers in India are running after money, and then you're talking about Kiara working with brands? Yeah, brands in India don't do campaigns like that with bloggers. We've tried. I've tried. Like, we've tried. They don't see the point. There are smaller fashion weeks in India right now that don't see the point of getting bloggers on board. Even for a free trip. Forget paying them. Like, bloggers, what do we need? Bloggers ka kya zarurat hai? Bloggers ka kya karna hai? Journalists ko bula lo. Print is still, we want print. What? So, brands don't want to work with bloggers like that right now in India. It's not because bloggers are not keen on doing that. Bloggers are very keen on doing it. We've floated ideas. I keep saying we because me and Akanksha, we talk about this all the time. And we've tried to float these ideas to international brands, Indian brands. No one wants to do it. Because it's new. Everyone's still trying to figure their way out. And there is commerce involved. I mean, when I go and tell a brand that, hey, you know, you have an event, great. I don't do brand events unless you pay me. And they're like, oh, abhi event attend karne ke liye bhi paise chahiye. Well, yeah. Because why are you inviting me? You're not inviting me because I'm your best friend. You're not inviting me because I'm family. You're inviting me because I'm a professional. And my professional presence at your event will add some value to it. Like, you know, I might live tweet about the event. So more people will know about it. It'll generate more awareness about your brand. So you're expecting me to add value to your brand, and I'm expecting you to add value to my bank account. It's quite simple, really. What Indian bloggers lack is a point of view. And unless they offer their readers / subscribers an original idea, an honest opinion, or an in-depth analysis, their sites will have nothing really to say. I agree in the sense that it... okay, so the article is finished. I agree finding that voice and finding that... something to say thing, it's going to take some time. Newer bloggers who have tried, for example, someone I know, I mean, I've never met them, but this is a young blogger who has a point of view, writes about fashion, it has been published. And he wrote something about, I think, the FBCI, and they banned him. So, Namrata, if you write something about the FBCI, they won't ban you. Because you have that, you have respect there. You've built it. You've been around for a while. But for a new blogger, they don't know who he is. They don't give a shit. So the FDCI banned him. They unbanned him too, as far as I know. I might be wrong. But yeah, it's a general, it is a genuine a professional fear, because there are brands currently don't want to pay bloggers for the work that they do. So when they get, in general, not everybody, but then when bloggers are invited, for example, to an event, a blogger is scared that, are you know, if I write something negative about this, then they might not invite me the next time. Heck, I've had that, you know, initially when I used to go for Fashion Week here in FDC, I was always like, fuck, if I wrote something bad, what if they just stop inviting me? And how will I get access to Fashion Week again? So I did think about it. Didn't stop me from writing shit. I did bitch about the press pit being completely filled with assholes. And I wrote about how, you know, they made me cry in the front row when I was trying to take photographs. Oh, yeah, I've cried in the front row. Yeah, I wrote about all that. But I have been around for 10 years. So I think there's a certain amount of them being like, I know, but we want her to come and, you know, cover the event for us. And I have that, you know, I write stuff the way I see it. I don't pull any punches. I don't give a fuck. But for younger bloggers, it's hard. Yeah? They're scared. And they need more voices like yours and mine, where we blog about stuff and we write about it. So just not just about being published. And you can always work out a deal with a publisher where they'll be happy that you're blogging about it. Because they'll be like, oh, you know, you don't blog the whole thing. You just write an excerpt from your original article that appears on the publication's website. And you just write an excerpt on your own personal blog. So when people come to your own personal blog, you actually also provide links to the publication's website where the full article is available. So it's a two-way street. The publisher gets more hits on that article via your blog as well. And you can have a deal with them where you say that, okay, for the first 3 months, the article stays on the publisher's website. And once those 3 months have lapsed, then you can publish the full article on your blog. So, and you can write extra stuff. Like, you might sometimes write a piece that might not be approved by the publisher. You can just publish it on your blog. You don't give a fuck. You can do that. And you can write more, I think. You really need to write more. I really like reading what you have to say. And there are more people who need to blog, which is why I'm saying the younger generation needs to have those role models. And in India, there aren't many. We can't. When I started, I didn't know who was writing about, like, blogging was like, no one was blogging. It was like, what are you wasting time on the internet for? It was like that. So now, I mean, I look at writers like you and I'm like, damn, you know, she writes it and she says the things the way they are. And I'm like, fuck, even I can do that. And I'm sure younger bloggers look at that and they're like, oh, yaar, ye bhi likhte hain, hum bhi likh sakte hain, why not? That's how they will get a voice. That's how they will figure out that it's okay and they don't need to be scared. Like, it's a new professional setting. I mean, I cry horse about unprofessionalism and people not getting paid on time. Even in the photography business, it's the same thing. Writing business, photography business. So blogging is just another way of writing, is all. And finding it's easier, you know, there are brands who... Personal style bloggers, for example, in India, I mean, Akanksha is doing immensely well and she does write on the blog as well. And but, you know, it's not her. You can see that there's a distinct thing between her travel posts, which are her own personal things, versus when she's working for like a Vero Moda or an Only India brand. So there are brands that do campaigns with bloggers. But again, personal style and the look she puts together. So that's her call, what she is going to wear. So that's her voice. But going to a runway show is totally different. And unless you're heavily invested in the industry in that sense, and you know who the designers are, where they're coming from. If you've studied fashion design, then there is a voice. I haven't studied fashion design. Like, I still remember 2 years ago, I was sitting in the front row with a writer, fashion journalist friend of mine. And we were at the Shivan and Naresh resort wear show. And I looked at her and I was like, I know what resort means, but what the fuck is resort wear? And she laughed. But I don't laugh. I mean, it might be a silly question but to people, but I want to know what resort wear is. Because I don't know what resort wear is. And unless there is a space, safe space, where people feel okay asking such a question, no one's going to ask that question and everyone's going to stay, you know, they won't know any better. So for fashion design students especially, I think in colleges now, they should tell them, you should have a blog. Just document your entire stay here, what you've learned, the projects that you do. And unique voices will emerge because they've been blogging for a while. People have started blogging even a year ago. It's going to take time. Blogging takes time. I mean, I've been blogging for more than a decade now. So yeah, if you're a writer and you've been published and you're writing somewhere, I think you should have a blog. You should most definitely have a blog. You'll reach more people. You'll inspire the younger generation. There will be people who will understand what a voice is. You know, it's like in photography, you have that. A lot of people tell me that they just look at a photograph and they know that I've shot it. I always find that like, what are you talking about? But that's what it is. It's your style of photography but it takes time to develop. It's not something that came to me the first year. I think it's probably taken me about 10 years to come to a point where someone can turn around and tell, hey, I know, you know, that's your picture. Wow, this has turned out to be a really long video with a lot of cuts. But thanks for listening and thanks for writing that article, Namrata. A lot of bloggers are talking about it and that's the way to do it. Without conversation, nothing is going to move forward. So thank you for listening and this is going to be the last video for 2015. There will be more in 2016. Hopefully you guys will ask me some questions that I can answer because I don't really know what else to talk about. I'll have to think up something. Thanks for listening. Bye. Happy New Year.